All right, everyone, welcome to the third installment of the Hanover Happenings podcast. I am your host, Alex Torpy, and this is our September 2022 update. I know, time is flying. In this episode, we are going to cover the Select Board meeting agenda items from September 12th and 26th. We will also cover my monthly report, which includes an update on hiring and staffing, the salary study, primary election, sustainable master plan, rental housing inspection ordinance, housing. Is it budget time already? Hint, the answer is yes. Community and economic development, mental health resources and access, and more. We also have our next employee spotlight, and I apologize this episode is a little bit long, but I think you're going to really enjoy this conversation with Sarah Molesworth, a part-time librarian at the Aetna Library, who just took a month off to hike the entire 272-mile long trail in Vermont. So let's jump right into it. And what we're going to start with is our two Select Board meetings from September. And just a reminder, I'm just sort of running through some of the high-level agenda items here, not going through everything that was in the meeting. If you'd like to see everything that was in the meeting, you can head to our website or YouTube and watch the full videos, or you can read the minutes. So, September 12th, our meeting, we had an agenda item to fund the completion of an LED streetlight conversion project, which I'm actually going to come back to when I talk about the next meeting. And we also had some resignations and appointments. And the resignations, I'll say first, which was Marjorie and Susan from Sustainable Hanover, who are longtime volunteers, stepped down. We issued proclamations for them, thanking them for their time on Sustainable Hanover. And then Judy Cola was appointed co-chair of Sustainable Hanover, and we also made appointments to the Planning Board and the Zoning Board of Adjustment. So congratulations, Christine and Jeremy, there. And if you are interested in volunteering on any committees or boards, you can head to our new volunteering page at hanovernh.org/volunteer. We also appointed ballot clerks for the primary election on September 13th. Which I'll come back to in the next meeting, and we had continued discussion about the rental housing ordinance, which I will also come back to. We had a couple business items regarding the settlement agreement with Dartmouth College for the North Campus land valuation, and donations to the Fire Department, Police Department, and Parks and Rec. And so we appreciate those donations through the New Hampshire Charitable Fund, and David and Caitlin Barrett. Banner requests and a couple other small business items on September 12th. So let's move on to September 26th. We have a bunch of things to go over here. So we had two public hearings to accept unanticipated funds for two different grants to help us finish the LED streetlight conversion project. Now, there's a little bit of bureaucracy in the process, which there always is with federal money, and with our process of having to accept unanticipated funds in New Hampshire. But basically, the short story here is that we have grant funds that are covering the completion of an LED streetlight conversion project. And so that's going from high-pressure sodium to LED. That is a long-standing project that actually began in Sustainable Hanover. It is going to have a significant reduction of energy usage and also significant cost savings in the long run. This also means that we are able to control the brightness and color and timing and other things of the lights from a central location, which is a really big benefit. You can find a map of where the streetlights are going to be converted in a link in the show notes, as well as in the agenda packet posted on our website at hanovernh.org. So one of the grants covered half of the funds that were needed for that project. Another grant is covering the other half of the funds with some leftover money to repair the drainage pipe adjacent to the Ledger Bridge. Okay, we also had some other business. So we approved and appointed Melissa Martin as assistant town clerk, who is our assistant town clerk and tax collector, as the municipal agent. And so Melissa's a new hire, so welcome, Melissa. And the municipal agent is the person who has to be appointed to do motor vehicle registrations, things like that. We also made appointments to Sustainable Hanover and the Zoning Board of Adjustment, and we recognized a longtime 16-year public works employee, Mark Roper, who is leaving employment with the town. And so thank you, Mark, for all of your work. We issued a proclamation to Mark for his work as well, which is some pretty significant programs and efforts, especially on our water and wastewater. Some of those are activities that are often behind the scenes, but have a huge impact on all of our daily lives. We had continued discussion of the proposed rental housing ordinance, and I will talk a little bit more about that in a moment. We also had an update on our sustainable master plan, which I'll also talk a little bit more in a moment. We had some more business, a recommendation from our assessor on a veterans credit, tax credit application, donations again for the fire department, a vehicle for an extrication drill, and a couple other kind of business items there, small things. Again, you can find everything on our website, but I don't think I'm going to have time to get into everything here. And we've got a couple really great updates to get into. So I'm going to go through my once per month report as town manager, and I'm going to cover a couple of the things that I mentioned that I would come back to. So the first is an HR and staffing update. What I wanted to do each month is provide the select board and the public with just how many folks left employment with the town and were hired. So we had 3 employees leave and 5 new hires. So we are very happy to welcome Stephen, Bruce, Lauren, Melissa, and Judy to the Hanover family. I also had a really interesting meeting last week that I hosted along with 2 other town managers in Enfield and New London about hiring, recruitment, and retention issues. And basically what we wanted to do is broaden the scope of the conversation that a lot of towns are having as we all face hiring challenges. And we wanted to talk about it not as, well, how do we steal one employee from another town? And then, you know, as the labor market continues to shrink, especially for public sector employees, we don't want to be in competition with each other. We'd like to figure out ways to work together. And I do think that although these challenges are significant and we're just probably at the beginning of facing them, we also have some really interesting opportunities because these kinds of pressures do force innovation and change. Boy, do we need some of that in government broadly. And so this will not only help push us towards maybe more regionalization or shared services between communities, but also working together on best practices about how to recruit and retain people. And so we talked about some of the challenges of retaining employees and what people were looking for. We talked about some of the best practices for writing job descriptions and where to post them. And one of the topics we talked about was how to broaden the number of people that are interested in local government employment. And especially for younger generations that tend not to be as interested. For example, compare baby boomers and their likelihood to work in the public sector to Gen Z and their likelihood. I think there's a big difference there. And so how do we make government employment more accessible to more people? And if government for a long time had rested its competitive advantage over the private sector on longevity, stability, retirement benefits, those are not benefits that are as compelling for everybody. And so what can we do to get more people interested? So that's a project that I am working with a number of other managers on. There's about 10 of us on that call. We are going to have a monthly call now. And I think that group is probably going to grow over time talking about these issues. I'm really interested in creating sort of a kind of marketing campaign that is aimed not just at younger people, but just at making employment in the public sector more accessible to more people. And so, for example, connecting really large kind of passion topics like climate change or tax policy or housing policy to specific positions in local government that work on those issues and make a difference and an impact in those areas today. And that people might not realize that there's a lot of opportunity at the local level. And if we can use that as a way to increase the pipeline of more people coming in, that would be great. And so those are really interesting conversations. And we have a number of different stakeholders that I kind of talked to about that, including Vital Communities. I did write up a blog post about that. So if you're interested in reading more about this issue, I won't go into too much more detail here. But if you're interested in reading more about that, there is a link to that. That is going to be on our website and on Substack. And that is a sort of summary of the conversation that we had And one of the key important points that pulled out from that is that the civic environment and how sort of collaborative that is at the local level actually plays a role in retention of public employees, because one of the things that managers mentioned was that some employees are leaving their jobs because they are being harassed or bullied by members of the public, which is really kind of disappointing and sad to hear, but also not that surprising because we see some of these dynamics play out in different communities and, of course, across the country right now. And so how can we kind of take a stab here in Hanover at kind of leading the way in how to be collaborative and how to be empathetic and whenever we talk about these kind of big picture issues, and realizing that these dynamics actually play a role in retaining public employees and allowing us to continue the kinds of services that we offer. So that is going to be linked again in the show notes on the website and on Substack if you want to read a little bit more about what I think is a pretty big topic there. Related to that is that we have begun working on our salary study. There is a memo from our human resources director in our agenda packet if you want to read more about that. We are sharing those updates with our employees as well. The whole project is expected to take about 3 months. We are working with a consultant, MRI, to complete that study, which is basically comparing, taking market data and understanding where our salaries and compensation falls within averages from other similar communities. That is the first of two steps, at least, of a larger look at how we employ and compensate, what benefits do we offer, all that kind of stuff. So the first step is a little bit more of a narrow study, making sure that we are in line market-wise. The next step is going to be a broader look at employment. And again, a little more about that in the agenda packet if you're curious. I also have an update from our town clerk about the primary election on September 13th. We'll have a little bit more information about that on our website, but our town clerk wanted to, I'll just read her thank you note here. Many people worked from before dawn to late in the evening to execute and complete the electoral process. The day went smoothly, and thanks to you, our voters, and a huge thank you to the election staff and volunteers. You are all much appreciated for making an extremely complex and legal process a good experience. On to November 8th. So we had more than 50 volunteers. We had 2,348 people vote out of 7,580 registered voters, so about a 30% turnout, which Bobby reported is about standard in Hanover. We also had 250 people register to vote on the election day. When the polls opened at 7 a.m., a lawyer from the New Hampshire Attorney General's office was there to inspect everything and gave us the thumbs up. So I will definitely thank everybody for participating in that. Okay, a master plan update. There's a lot to read here, and I don't know if I'm going to have time to read it all into this podcast, but there are some updates as we are beginning to get sections of our master plan back from the consultant that is working with our committees. And so there are a number of those different chapters that are coming in. And if you want to know a little bit more about that, all of that information is posted online. And you can find all of that information online at HanoverNHMasterPlan.com. And that has the schedule of what is happening over the next couple weeks and months. So head over there if you want to find a little bit more, or you can go to our agenda packet and that has the full detail as well. Basically in October, we're getting, and November and December, we're getting a number of chapters back. And by January, we expect to have pretty much all of that done. There will then be, some proposed recommendations that are going to come out of that. Some of those might be administrative changes. Some might be zoning changes that need to go to town meeting. Some might be suggestions for planning board or for the select board or for advocacy efforts to the state legislature or our federal delegation. And so over that period of time in the spring, we are intending on having a number of community meetings to talk about the recommendations that came from the community meetings through the master plan process. Obviously a very engaged entire kind of program here. But we want to have conversations about the changes that will be on, that will be queued up for town meeting in May. So if you're interested in that, keep an eye out as we get towards January and February for when those community workshops will be taking place. I will say this is still early in the planning process, but I'm really, really excited to note that I'm actually anticipating that those community meetings are going to be largely driven and maybe moderated by Hanover High School students. So this is a really cool project that I'm working on with the high school right now. And the idea is to plug high school student leaders into the local government process through an academic independent study that they will get academic credit for throughout the spring. And what that means is that students are going to come in, meet with stakeholders, learn about housing issues in Hanover, get trained by an outside organization on how to facilitate community meetings, and then actually facilitate community meetings. And it's no secret that not only, there's three goals to this. One is that we need to have thoughtful and nuanced and complex conversations around housing issues in Hanover and the future of our community. And that's really hard to do. And I think that having high school students that are interested in these topics and passionate about our community and about learning about all of this are going to be really great at helping us have that conversation. Number two, the goal is that we would love to provide the opportunity to plug student leaders into these sort of education and leadership training opportunities. You know, I've heard a lot of people say things over the course of, you know, the 10 or 15 years that I've been working around government. Well, I really want to learn about government, so I'm going to move down to Washington, D.C. and intern for my senator. Okay, yeah, that's definitely an option, and there are pros and cons to doing that, but there's a whole lot of opportunity right in one's own community to learn about government, and I would argue on a more tangible level. Number three is that having conversations about complicated and challenging topics is really hard. It is pressuring a lot of communities right now, and we're clearly doing a bad job of this, I think, at large or many state and the national level. And so this is an opportunity for us to explore how to have really constructive, collaborative, empathetic conversations about difficult topics. And we intend on doing this as part of a study with other towns, looking at best practices, taking lessons out. How do we help have good conversations about important issues? Okay, so next, moving on to the rental housing updates. Okay, and so all of those conversations will be happening in the spring, leading up to town meeting, coming on the heels of recommendations from the master plan. That's the sort of overall timeline here. I mean, if you have any questions about that, you can reach out to myself. I mean, if you have any questions about the master plan process, you can also reach out to Rob Houseman, our planning director. So let's move on to rental housing updates. So we have a rental housing ordinance. We are at the point of making a number of sort of last minute final changes to the ordinance, clarifying different things, making sure that all the language is clear and consistent. We haven't made any substantive changes to the ordinance in any of the last meetings, but we do have the new drafts posted currently on the website at hanovernh.org. The draft that is there now, our attorney obviously has been working closely with us on this. All the staff who've been working on this have been making a number of revisions. I always think it's good to get a fresh set of eyes, so we asked, you know, someone else at the firm who'd never seen the ordinance, take a look at it, provide us some feedback. There were some suggestions. Again, mostly just kind of language and consistency between different sections. Nothing major at all. But we did make those changes. That draft is now live on our website, hanovernh.org/rental-housing. That will also be in the updated agenda packet. There is now a public hearing set for October 17th at the Select Board meeting at 7:30 p.m. in Town Hall. So we will discuss that final draft this coming Monday, October 3rd, and then the intention is to then vote on it. That is the Select Board's intention, is to then have the final public hearing, even though we've had somewhere between, I don't know, even just since I've been in Hanover, five or six different public conversations in public workshops and Select Board meetings about this. We have a survey on our website. We have FAQs, all sorts of resources if you want to learn more about it. This is a really important ordinance to do. We have a number of unsafe rental units in Hanover. Rental units are a higher risk based on all of the experience and data that we have from our professionals and in the field in general. And what we are intending on doing with this is creating a registration, inspection, and enforcement program that's not uncommon throughout the country, especially in places with high turnover in short-term units, hotels, Airbnbs, rental units, and things like that. We have more than 1,200 rental units in Hanover, and many of them have never received an inspection of any kind in any recent history, and we often find really frightening conditions in these buildings. For example, when our fire department responds to an alarm call at a building and notices that all the smoke detectors are unplugged, or that egresses are blocked, or that the buildings are over-occupied. So this is going to help make a big difference trying to minimize the risk of those housing units and make renting in Hanover much safer. Again, public hearing October 17th. Housing updates. So you can see a little bit about our master plan there. We are continuing to explore the issues that we've talked about in the past. For example, trying to build employee housing so that we can hire people. Like a lot of private employers, and like I was talking about earlier, we just sometimes can't hire people because we offer a job that's conditional on finding housing, the person accepts it conditional on finding housing, and then they can't find housing, or they can't find early childcare, or both. That's a huge problem, and I talk about this a little bit more in the blog post I mentioned about hiring issues, that if local governments can't hire, and we can't staff critical services like public safety functions, environmental and waste management, road and transportation, mental health, all of these different things, if we can't staff those functions, that's a huge problem for our community, and it's going to have a big economic impact in the region. And so we really need to get ahead of the cliff that many local governments are facing the next 5 to 7 years with a huge incoming wave of retirements happening. So we'll be talking more about that. Those are all kind of long-term plans. Okay, the next, is it budget time already? And, well, we're almost there. It's only a very brief pause between passing the budget in 1 year and starting the budget in the next year, especially because we are going to be doing a few things different in this budget year. Our finance director, Tina Stearns, and myself have been working on this, and we are having a couple meetings leading up to November 7th as sort of a budget kickoff meeting. And so that is going to be a meeting that, if you're interested in what is happening in the budget, of course, I'll be posting it here, probably maybe in a standalone episode as well, which I may do more of. But if you are interested, you could check out the select board meeting on November 7th, where we will be presenting a timeline, some goals, and some basic forecasts about this budget year. Of course, things are not looking amazing. But we have got a lot to talk about and a lot of work to do there. Okay, moving on to community and economic development. I am excited that we are setting, just finalizing the date kind of as we speak, but finalizing a meeting date for a working group or committee to come together to talk about community and economic development. So this is going to be a bunch of stakeholders, business owners in Hanover, myself, our planning director, and Tracy from the Upper Valley Business Alliance, talking specifically about how to support and bring in new businesses to Hanover. There's a lot of different issues there that I've heard come up over the last couple months in meeting with people, and people are really enthusiastic about participating and finding solutions. So that will hopefully be a sort of standing committee. Don't know the structure yet. Want to figure that out with the group when we get together, and that will be in about a month. So next month's report will have a little more information about that, which is really exciting. We've got some really interesting ideas there, including one that has come up a few times, which is thinking about ways to support DIYism, or do-it-yourself, or innovation or entrepreneurship or makerspaces. And so we're going to have some really interesting conversations between some stakeholders in Hanover about what a space like that could look like and if there's a need or demand for that in Hanover. I'm actually going down to Claremont in a couple weeks to tour and learn more about their makerspace, and also going up to Thayer there to check out some of their kind of maker spaces as well. So that could be really cool, because those are ways to really actually tangibly support small business hobbyists and people coming together and having community with each other over passion projects instead of kind of working on them at home. So that's a really interesting idea, and looking forward to exploring that with business owners in town. Next, mental health resources and access. This is a challenge across the country. And there are, there's been so much, especially over the last couple of years, that has added layers of challenge onto this for so many people in our community, in our region, in across the world. And there are some state and federal efforts that are addressing this. I'm not sure if they are funded or coordinated as good enough as they could be. We're working with a number of different stakeholders, such as West Central Behavioral Health, such as folks at Dartmouth College and the Medical Center, at trying to see if there's a way the town can help facilitate, convene, support more mental health resources, both on kind of both sides of the coin, on kind of proactive, long-term, chronic bases, helping people kind of get ahead of these things, and also on the acute response crisis side of things. There's a lot of different issues there to pull apart. There's a lot of stakeholders that are working on this in our community, but it is clear that there's more that needs to be done, not just in our community, but in so many communities. So if you do, if you are listening to this and you do have any, you do have any information, this is something that you've worked on before, please reach out to me, and we are open to any sort of suggestions about, again, ways to make this more accessible on the proactive side, and ways to make this more accessible on the reactive side. Of course, in Hanover, you can always call 911 if you are experiencing any sort of emergency. And where that call goes is our dispatch center. That dispatch center is a person, is a communications person who is able to connect and coordinate different resources. So that person decides, do we need a police officer? Do we need an ambulance? Do we need fish and game? Right, they are sort of the connector point, and if you're ever experiencing any sort of emergency in Hanover and you don't know what to do, you can always call 911, and that person will get you whatever the resources that you need are. That doesn't mean that there's going to be a million police officers come running in, though many of our police officers are really well trained at helping people through acute crisis situations. But we also run a paramedic service through our fire department, and they are highly trained on how to help folks in times of need. So there are other resources out there, and I will read out the 24/7 crisis line from West Central Behavioral Health, but just in case you don't have that handy, for anybody that is listening, you can always call 911, and we will make sure to connect you to the right resource for whatever emergency that you may be facing, or whatever crisis that you may be in. The West Central Behavioral Health number, this is a 24/7 toll-free line. This is 1-833-710-6477. So you can call that number whether you're in New Hampshire or Vermont, and get connected to their resources as well. So hopefully we'll have some more updates here as we plug along with some of the our stakeholders and find some more ways to help support our community. I also wanted to thank and praise our fire department. They organized a training exercise with Dartmouth Safety and Security to practice marine rescues. Fire and police did a touch a truck event, which was I was not able to get to, but was very was a lot of fun, and we had a number of community members turn out for that, which sounded really great. And I was also really happy to go to our fire department and just say a few words of support in a sort of formal hiring and promotion ceremony for a number of firefighters who had been hired or promoted in the last few years, but they had not held a formal ceremony due to COVID. And so it's really nice to kind of have that, bring the families out, and have the formal moment where we recognize the incredible efforts of people who work in these fields. So that is everything that was in my administrative report from September 26th, or that's an overview of everything that was in it. If you want to read the report itself, of course, you can always go to HanoverNH.org and find our agenda packets. It is in that every once per month at the second select board meeting. So what we have started doing in Hanover, our next topic here, is that every month I would like to spotlight an employee or a volunteer who just does cool things. Last month, we talked to Josh Miriam at the fire department, who is a captain there and who is involved in some of our community risk reduction programs, such as our rental housing inspection ordinance, and we learned a little bit about him. This month, I am really happy to introduce Sarah Molesworth from the Aetna Library, so I am going to kick it over to that conversation that I had with Sarah over at the Aetna Library just the other day. Hey everybody, and welcome to another employee spotlight for Hanover Happenings. I'm Alex Torby, town manager, and I'm here with Sarah Molesworth at the Aetna Library. So welcome, Sarah.
Thank you.
So we are in this beautiful room here. Tell us a little bit about the Aetna Library and what you do here.
The Aetna Library is a small library in Aetna, New Hampshire. It's a library that we share resources with the Howe Library. I have been working here part-time for the last 3.5 years, and before that I did some substituting when people were on vacation. I've worked in libraries for a long time, and I really enjoy this library. It's a small library. It's very community-centered. I feel like I get to talk with lots of people and build relationships here that might not be possible in a bigger library. I do story times for children on Mondays, and Jeff does them on Fridays. I also set up crafts for children to do every couple of weeks. We've just started doing some adult programming for crafts, so there should be another craft coming up in the next month. We're a small library here, so we do everything from soup to nuts. I check books in, I check books out, I help patrons find information that they're looking for, books. If we don't have a book in our collection and the Howe doesn't have the book, then we can look on Interlibrary Loan, which is a consortium of lots of local libraries. And if that doesn't work, then sometimes we order the book, but
If that doesn't work, then we just write the book. Yeah.
Right. But that's the great thing about a small library like this is, even though we have a limited space for our collection, we have the ability to get books from anywhere that people are looking for. And I think that some people prefer a small library like the Aetna Library, and some people prefer a larger library like the Howe Library. So I feel like it gives the best of both worlds for everybody. There's a library that works for everyone in the community.
It seems very complimentary, the relationship.
Yeah, it is.
That's cool. What are some of the things in the last few years? I mean, is there anything in your memory that stands out as, I don't know, particularly fun or memorable, like an event that you had here, or I don't know, maybe a particular patron? I don't know. Is there anything that just sort of sticks out as?
Well, I really like the relationships that I get to form with patrons, because this library doesn't have the same volume as Howe, so it's a little bit different pace. And when people come in, you have time to really chat with them and get to know them.
Right, you don't have like a line of people waiting.
Right. But we have there are things that happen here that have been happening for a long time, like the pie sale that we have. I'm gonna blank out, sorry.
That's okay. So is the pie sale, is that a pie day event, or is this just like a pie sale with an E?
It's a pie sale with an E.
Okay.
It's something that they do around Thanksgiving time. Lots of local people make pies, and they come and buy a pie. And during the pandemic, we had to change things a little bit, because at one time they were all on the table and people could come in and pick out a pie. But then when the pandemic came, we had like a drive-through, so Barbara would go out and hand out the pies. And
that's an interesting, it must have been kind of a scene.
But it's something that people really have enjoyed, so We've kept it throughout the years. And we have had some really great children's projects that have been in the afternoons for school-age kids that have been big, and I really enjoyed doing those.
That's great. That's really cool. Now, you had a bit of a change of pace recently. I think my sense, I am very new to, you know, the Hanover area and Upper Valley. My sense is there's a few people around here who like the outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And you're one of them, I think.
Yes.
I am too. And it sounds like you just had this like really wonderful kind of opportunity to do something that was a really interesting experience. Tell us a little bit about, you just were off for a month. And like, tell
yes.
us about what you were up to.
Well, I had a great opportunity to run away and live in the woods for a month. And fortunately, all the stars aligned and my employer was able to give me a month off so that I could go do this. My husband was able to be mom, dad, animal trainer, and everything in between, and be my food supplier. And I went on the long trail for the month of August and did all 272 miles. I lived in a tent. I carried everything that I needed on my back, kind of like a turtle, and just went from place to place each day. And we filtered our own water. We carried all of our food in our backpacks.
But didn't keep the food in the tents.
But we
right,
didn't keep
okay,
our food
right.
in the tents. That was actually, we had to hang our food in our bear bags every night. And that was usually some amusement for the night, trying to find the right trees for my friend's tree bag who had a traditional bear bag.
Right.
My bear bag was an Ursek, so that was much easier to hang. But we got used to hanging our bear bags at night and not worrying too much about the bears. We did see one. It didn't do exactly what I was expecting it to do. It ran in front of us. But
like across the trail
yeah,
or something?
It ran across the trail, but it just kept on running. It didn't bother us. We saw so many beautiful things in the woods. Hiking is like simplicity at its best. You don't need much. You take one day at a time. You know, there were a lot of people on the trail. Everybody was really friendly. And everybody had different reasons for being out there on this hike. And some people were figuring out what their next step in life was. And I just kind of found it ironic that we were physically taking one step at a time, but it slowed the pace of life down enough so that you really had a lot of opportunity to think. And while I wasn't out there for any special next step or thinking, it just was a great opportunity to unplug and be in nature. It was like a therapeutic recharge.
I mean, we're lucky to get a little bit of that almost a little bit every day. And I wonder if, from your perspective, I mean, the times that I've gone out like for more, not that long, but periods of time out in nature, it's sort of like each time it makes it a little easier to reflect on that kind of in your daily life. I don't know if you find that as well.
No, I do.
Like you start noting, like once you're out there and you notice the color of a particular flower or something, and then you kind of come back to your real, you know, world life. And I'm actually not sure which one is the real one. But then it's like, oh, wait, that was the, and you kind of notice it again. And I don't know if you have a similar, like, do you feel like you have a different mindset or like any sort of lasting effects from it so far?
I can't say that there's just one lasting effect from it. I mean, I do think that it does make you slow down a little bit more.
Right.
It does make you reflect more. And I do often, I used to be a kindergarten teacher, and I remember kids used to say, why do we need to read this book again? And we would say, you know, you learn something new every time you read it. And I do feel like nature is kind of like that. The more you spend time in nature, the more you learn about it and the more you see. It's kind of like a less is more concept. It's like a depth.
Right, right.
Versus a breadth of information.
That's such an important concept that we don't really deal with well.
You know,
we're kind of in a quantity over quality mindset. And this seems like this sort of flips that a little bit. It's kind of the quality over quantity.
Right. It's definitely a less is more. And,
right.
You know, I think slowing down and kind of really appreciating what is here. I mean, you hear the saying that each day is a gift and tomorrow is not promised. I really do believe that's true. We had a Facebook group that we called Living the Dash, and we named it Living the Dash because this is our dash. It's our opportunity to go out and live while we're here.
Right.
So
interesting. Now, when you're out hiking, so there's, you know, and I'm sure some people that are listening have probably done some hikes, so they kind of know there's a lot of logistics involved too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just as far as all your gear and finding a water source and getting your camp set up and then broken down, there's like a lot of steps.
Yes.
But there's also some downtime, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And were there sort of any, I don't know, reading, writing, kind of creative projects? Like, did you bring anything with you? I know there's no interlibrary loan out on the trail, but what was that like?
We didn't really bring anything with us, and we talked to a lot of the hikers that were out there, and that was just interesting because everybody has such different stories and comes from such different walks of life. It was, and nobody is judgmental out on the trail.
Right,
it's, there's you hear and take in so much information. It's just, I'm not sure what the word is. It's just, it's a really great experience. Just taking in the conversations and the social piece of being with other hikers, hearing their stories. And there was so much kindness on the trail. I mean, almost everybody was kind, and even those that weren't, you never know what their story is.
That's
you
true.
Don't know
right.
what they may be out there trying to solve one of their world,
right.
one of their life problems.
Right. I mean, that's a good lesson for a day-to-day kind
yes.
of existence too, right?
Yeah.
It's funny too, I mean, I guess, in some ways, like in my mind, I think about, you know, like reading and writing as some sort of pinnacle sort of thing. But human conversation has been around much longer than written word.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sort of almost a more genuine way to learn from people. It was a conversation I was listening to on a podcast recently, and they were talking about this. They said, why is it so engaging to listen to things? And because I sometimes feel like it's like a less, I don't know, thorough way of consuming information. Like, well, shouldn't you be reading this in a book if you really want to learn it? But the way they were talking about it, I said, well, you know, we're probably a little more ingrained to actually pass stories down verbally. That's
mm-hmm.
a much longer history. And so it's interesting. Like, I didn't even realize that sort of bias just asking that question. You know, well, did you read out on the trail? Well, but you're talking to people. That's its own entire source of wisdom and knowledge and all sorts of stuff.
And it's also may sound silly, but my pack was already 35 pounds.
Right.
So I didn't, we didn't add extra weight, and our,
that's pretty good. 35. That's,
and we couldn't really, our battery charges in our phones didn't
right.
really last that long.
Right.
So we couldn't even spend our time reading on our phones if we had wanted to, because
right,
it,
right.
they just didn't last.
Hmm.
We did take lots of pictures. We did some Facebook Lives, which were fun.
Because oh, that's
you could
cool.
I mean, you could actually see what we were doing.
Right, right.
On parts of the trail. And it was a trip of a lifetime. I'm really glad that I did it.
Yeah. Now, do you have any sort of thoughts or recommendations? I don't know, if somebody's listening and they're on the fence, you know, should I take some time off? I mean, it's lucky to be able to do that. And
right.
I feel lucky too that I've been able to do that in my life. But let's say somebody's sort of thinking about it. Say, I don't know, that seems like a lot. I don't know, any sort of like thoughts to that person right on the fence there?
I would say if you're thinking about it, do it. I mean, I did not actually do an overnight hike until maybe 2 or 3 weeks before we actually went on the whole.
So that was the one
trail.
Overnight hike that you mentioned? Wow, so that's pretty good.
So I did one overnight
yeah.
and it actually got to be kind of funny because my husband said, well, have you used your jet boil yet?
Right.
And I said, no, I haven't used it yet, but I'm going to. He's like, don't you think you should use it so that you know it works before you get on the trail?
Right.
So, but you know, I had learned how to use my bear bag. I learned how to use my jet boil. I knew how to use most of the things in my backpack, but it was going to be a real life learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot as I went along the trail. And it wasn't, I guess I knew that I was going to be able to do it. I didn't have any doubts that I'd make it through unless I got hurt or there was a family emergency at home.
Right.
But I felt pretty sure that I would be able to make the trip. It was, and I knew that there would be obstacles along the way, but it was, I guess outside in nature, I feel a little bit more willing to take risks in some ways. And I felt like sometimes I was living just on the outside of my comfort level in some of the places I was, because I hadn't had those particular obstacles like rebars and ladders and going around really tight corners on ledge.
Yeah, that must have all been, I mean, there's something interesting about, and we were talking about this just earlier, like, you know, you could sort of plan every second of it out and know everything, but there's something exciting and interesting about learning a little bit as you go. I mean, it sounds like a little bit of preparation ahead of time.
Yeah,
and you went with somebody else who also, did they have a similar level of experience to you?
Yes, we had both hiked about the same amount.
Okay.
And we had done a lot of the 4,000 footers together. She had a lot more information on what the trails would actually look like. Because she is a trail angel, and she hosts people at her house, and she had also watched a lot of YouTube videos on
YouTube University. Yes.
So she knew like what some of these tricky places would look like.
Right. That's great. So that sounds like, I would say my takeaway from that is a pretty encouraging sentiment for those who might be thinking about it.
Definitely.
And same for those who haven't stopped down at the Etna Library in a while. They should come on down and can hear more stories.
Yes,
and
that would be great.
Yeah.
We tell stories on Mondays and Fridays. There's a craft every other Monday. So we would love to see you.
Great. Well, Sarah, thank you for taking some time to share that really wonderful experience with us. And glad to have you here working in for the town of Hanover in the village of Etna, and you know, just appreciate you sharing everything with us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm enjoying it too.
Good, thank you. Really appreciate you listening to this episode, and if you have any feedback about content I should include, content I shouldn't include, do you want music in the background, do you not want music in the background, anything at all, please let me know. Gotten some really great feedback from people. It does seem like folks appreciate being able to listen to these updates. You can always reach out to me at alex.torpy@hanovernh.org. So thank you for taking the time to be more informed. Hope to see you out on some of our committees, at some of our meetings in the community, getting involved as well. So till next time, thank you again for joining me on Hanover Happenings.